I call the order. First is our budget hearing at 7:01 p.m. Welcome everybody who's here. We have only one item on the agenda for our budget hearing because, of course, our budget committee is already deliberated. Anne, do you have a motion?
I do. I hereby move that the school board of Dayton School District Number 8 approves the recommended budget for fiscal year 2022-23 in the sum of $35,385,478, and that the school board further approves the taxes to be levied for Dayton School District Number 8 as follows: permanent tax rate, education limitation 5.0892 per thousand of assessed value, excluded from limitation payment of bonded debt $1,448,900.
All right. So we have a motion from Director Coleman to that the school board of Dayton School District Number 8 approve the recommended budget for fiscal year 22-23 in the sum of $35,385,478, and that the school board further approves the taxes to be levied for the Dayton School District Number 8 as follows: for the permanent tax rate education limitation of $5.0892 per thousand of assessed value, being excluded from the limitation of payment of bonded debt at $1,448,900. Did I get your motion correct?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Do we have a second for this motion? A second from Director Albright. Thank you much. Any discussion of the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All in favor of the motion, raise your right hand. Excellent, the motion passes unanimously. With one of our directors absent. I didn't take attendance at the beginning. I'm sorry, Katie, but Dr. Crafter is absent. All right, then that's it for our budget hearing tonight. We have a budget for the next school year. That's awesome. Congratulations, and thanks to everybody on our budget committee for all that you did to get us here. Now we'll move into our regular board meeting at 7:03 p.m. and start with our Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise with us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Excellent. Katie, did we get anybody sign up for public comment?
Yes, I do have one.
Oh, all right. Jerry Sinicki, please. Please state your name and address for the record before you get started.
Before I turn it on?
No, after you turn it on, before you get to the comments.
Sure. Rule follower. I am a rule follower. It's way under 3 minutes, so.
Sherry Sinicki, 1118 Hillsdale Drive, Newburgh, Oregon. So when I first said I was going to speak at the board meeting that I was going to attend for Dayton, I wasn't sure what I was going to say. Oh my God, I'm going to cry. Was I going to read my resignation? Was I going to rail at the winds? And then what I realized is that I just really wanted to say goodbye. And I wanted to set the record straight on a few things. And I wanted to talk about my people. So some of this might be a little rough, but we're going to get through it. So first, we're going to set some things straight. Every board meeting, my people are railed against. They are told how they're not doing their jobs, how terrible the school is, and how people are leaving here because it's so horrible and because they are horrible. And it's demoralizing, and it is not true. There's an entire district, pre-K through 12, staff, admin, everyone working really hard together to make this a better place. We are rebuilding and rethinking how we make Dayton School District the best place it can be. We did this during a global pandemic with new staff, and we're making progress. But instead of being encouraged, we come to board meetings and we are constantly and consistently told how we're not doing enough, how what we're doing, we're awful, and oftentimes with information that is inaccurate. We're not afraid of critical feedback. Holy crap, that's what we do. We're teachers. We give critical feedback all the time. But ambushing people at a board meeting is not appropriate. This board proposes, and I very, very much want to believe you, that you want longevity in staff. But that is not going to happen until you truly reach out with an open mind and an open heart and seek to understand what is truly going on in our buildings. Because while we have a long way to go, holy flipping cow, you guys, we're trying really hard to make this place amazing and to make this a place that we can be proud of. And we are all trying to do that. Next, I told you I was going to tell you about my people. So let me tell you, they work hard every single day. Every single day. Helping kids, navigating phone calls and emails, processing new COVID information, coming up with new ways to do things that make better sense. They cover classes. They encourage kids. They encourage each other. And they are amazing and show up for each other and for me and our admin every day. And it has been my distinct privilege to serve with them. And finally, a goodbye. Mic over three. I wanted to say a public goodbye to this district as it has meant so much to me these past 17 years. From sports games to homecoming, concession stands, field days, proms, May days, lunch duties, parent meetings, conferences, and everything in between. All the things. Because I've done them all. I've done them all, and I've done them all with an amazing staff by my side. Speaking of, and most importantly, I want to say goodbye to a staff that I have rumbled with, that I have cried with, I have belly laughed with, sometimes at the same time, and to my students and their families, past and present. It has been my very, very distinct pleasure to serve you. You have enriched my life and you have filled my cup and you have made me a better person. I will miss you all more than you will ever know.
Thank you, Sherry. We didn't have any others, Katie. Thank you. All right. I don't think we have anything else to change on the agenda for the night. So we'll go into our consent agenda. Any questions from board about that included for the public, our second readings and adoption of board policies and administrative regulations that we had reviewed in the last meeting? Anything? Anybody wish to make a motion?
I mean, we accept minutes from May 10th and May 23rd as presented.
I'm also in the consent agenda's confirmation of employment and adoption of the board rules and policies. Are you excluding those on purpose?
No.
Okay. So just a point of clarification, Director Albright, your motion is to approve the minutes as well as confirm employment in the second readings, everything within the consent agenda before us. Okay. Excellent. Thank you much. Do I have a second from Director Rinalda? Any discussion of the motion? Okay. All in favor, raise your right hand. Motion passes unanimously. We have our reports, student government report. Do we have a student government report tonight? Yes. Thank you, Mr. John. Then we will go to our superintendent report. Dr. Suck.
All right. I guess they graduate and are done.
That's how that works.
That's how that works. All right. So here we are in June. Oh, my goodness. So just a reminder, tomorrow we have our staff luncheon in the grade school cafeteria around noonish. So after the kids are gone and the teachers have a chance to get there. So people will kind of walk in. It's the last work day for most licensed staff is June 17th. So that's Friday. So after that, it'll be pretty quiet, although summer school will kick off not long after that. Campus safety. So as we look forward to next school year and review this past year, we'll continue to work to improve our security processes and drills. We've instituted many standard protocols when dealing with serious incidents. We appreciate the cooperation of WESD and Yamhill County Sheriff's Office. I guess the only way to describe it is the threat from a week or so ago, you know, is another reminder to us that we need to step up our and just make sure that we are keeping things secure and safe as much as possible, and that we are, you know, need to practice our drills and make sure we understand what our processes are, and help communicate that out. You know, a little bit of the feedback I got back from some staff and community was they were, you know, glad to see, you know, the protocol, the steps that we take when something like that happens. Hopefully it doesn't happen too often, but it does happen a few times a year, unfortunately. And, you know, and then it's always a lot more sensitive when it's around a national event like what happened a couple of weeks ago in Uvalde. So we'll continue to work on that. But the Yamhill County Sheriff's Office is always great. They get here real quickly when they know there's a, you know, when we call and say, hey, we've had this kind of threatening behavior or whatever, they are quickly to get here. And the ESD, I didn't really realize it until a couple of years ago, but the threat assessment process that we use was developed at Salem Kaiser, and it has gone national at this point and is really recognized as the way to do, evaluate threats. And so you can rest assured that, you know, what happens is you do a level one, and then the team, which is a lot of people in law enforcement, mental health people, they make a decision about whether or not they think the student actually needs a threat. And sometimes the student needs more intense intervention, so they do like a level two and do other things if they feel like there's a threat. So it's really good. The main thing for us is to make sure that everyone is safe, and then to make sure that student, you know, who made the threat, if it's a student of ours, that we make sure that they get any support and any help that they or the family need, right? We're connecting them to resources out in the community and making sure law enforcement is aware, because law enforcement can support them as well. So as we look forward to next year, you know, this year, I think if you came to graduation, if you came to senior awards night, if you came to eighth grade promotion, today we had the kindergarten celebration. We won't call it a graduation or a promotion, it was a celebration, which is great. All of those went very well. But I think it was also very appreciative of this community to be back in person, to be able to see people, to celebrate the accomplishments of our students in person, and to do that personally with our staff. You know, May Day, many of our sporting events, of course. I was trying to remember back to now, I think it was right before spring break when, you know, the face mask mandate was lifted, but I can't really seem to remember that. So the year is all kind of a blur. And I think we will continue to get more normal next year. You know, I think it'll, whatever normal is at this point. So I look forward to that. So that's my report. Thank you.
Can I have the floor a minute before we go on?
Please, go ahead.
I should have said it, sure. Thanks. Can you teach my kids for all you've done? What you've done for the school district. You know, when I think of you, I admire you as a person. I admire you as an educator. And without words,
what this school board has done to you. And I will openly and publicly assent to anybody who asks me, and I have. And I'm sorry. And I wish it could have been different. And I just wanted to publicly admit that and to say that out loud. And thank you for everything you've done for the district. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Terry.
Mr. Chamberlain?
Hey, follow that. Yeah.
There's no crying in construction.
The capital bond program. This summer, we've got a few projects happening, and they all start next week. So got a roofing project on the high school that we all know about. We've got a door upgrade program or external door upgrade program at the grade school. And a flooring replacement project at the grade school. Those are the four projects that are happening this summer. And the rest, the remainder is a CTE addition that is currently out to bid. We are doing an early bid package for the metal building and the electrical switchgear because those are 40-week long lead items. So we need to get those ordered now. And then the remainder of the package will be bid in November when we believe is the sweet spot in bidding, right after summer and right before next year's bids. So that is our current plan. You'll start seeing me a lot more on site throughout the summer. I'll be doing site walks every week on the roof and at the grade school. Should be a good project. Any questions for me?
Doesn't look like it. All right. Thank you much. Anything you'd add, Steve?
Mm-mm. Nope. Just we look forward to them getting started. And thank you, Paul, for being, I know you're working with like the grade school staff and the custodial staff with Otto to try to figure out how can we get access to the classrooms at the grade school with the abatement. They're working in the hallway and that's how you access the classroom. So the custodians want to get in and clean the building and work in the classrooms. And so thank you for being flexible and the contractors for being flexible around how can we make that work so that the custodians can have access to part of the building.
Absolutely. We're acutely aware that we impacted you guys a lot last summer. So we're trying to, they want to get in there and clean those rooms. They haven't been cleaned for the last 2 years. So a good thorough clean is what I mean. And, but yeah, so we want to definitely be flexible. So I appreciate that. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Paul. Financial update, Steve.
So Amber couldn't be here this evening due to a family commitment. So what you have is her usual report. If there's any questions, I can refer them to her. We're wrapping up the year. We're doing the balance of contract payments right now. So we're just kind of wrapping stuff up. Okay. And then getting ready for next year, which starts here in just a few weeks.
Any questions on the financial report? Okay. Then our administrative reports. Ms. Simons, if you would.
All right. Well, you have my report. Oh, it's on the screen as well. We've had a lot of fun. And like Steve said, a return to some group events that kind of built that sense of community and experience. These are the things that kids remember after they move on. They don't always remember unless, you know, how they learned to read, unless it was hard. They don't always remember math unless they had to spend hours extra on it. But they remember when teachers get pied in the face. They remember when they got to do, their whole class got to do tie-dye their own shirts. They remember when we had dress-up days and someone did something outlandish. And so we've had a lot of that trying to make up for lost time this last month. And also return to some in-person events. So we had our DGS art fair. Every child creates a piece of art. They are displayed in the cafeteria, and it's a silent auction. It's great fun to watch people run around and bid up other people's art items, or competing grandparents are also great for us, because there's only one piece of art. And so with the help of our PTSO, who kind of runs the money exchange for us, because they have all that technology, we made over $4,000. And that's on kid-created art. So you want to see kids happy. Is people buy their items, and it's like the lemonade stand gold. So that was a wonderful evening. Really want to thank my staff for taking the time to create some really great art pieces, and our staff who stay after school and help set up and get everything ready and attend the event. And then our PTSO, who organized to have food trucks there and, you know, just really help make that a fun event. We also had our carnival. In the past, we've had a family fun fair, and we just weren't sure that that's kind of where we wanted to go this year. But instead, we used the carnival games from the family fun fair and had kids play carnival games, and they were guaranteed one prize for each event. We had some great work done on creating some punch cards. The cafeteria baked and donated cupcakes for a cakewalk, and each grade level got to go do that activity together. So they had to stand in line just long enough, but not too long, and got to play multiple games and have some fun that day. So big thank you to the Mecha group. Maricela Martinez worked with Ed to bring down, I think we had almost 18 junior high and high school students who came down and ran the games for us, just helped make it a really fun time for our kiddos. Our kids always love seeing their older siblings, so that's always fun. We had outdoor school trip fun. We had another dress up day. The first grade released butterflies and got to watch them not fly away very far, which was a whole new challenge when you have first graders. But our teachers do a really great job with that. So, and today we had our kindergarten celebration. We had a pretty large crowd of parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, siblings, you name it. And this is the graduating class of 2034.
Oh my God. I hate it when you do that.
2034. Yes. I will not still be standing doing board reports in 2034. I'm going to be laying on the beach somewhere, hopefully. But no, I will be doing something with kids. I don't imagine I won't ever be doing something with kids. But this class, they are fun. They are cute and spunky and just what our world needs. So we had fun with them today. Their parents had fun. They got to take lots of pictures and celebrate, you know, an event together. There you go. Tomorrow's the last day.
I have two huge thank yous for you and your staff. The art fair was like a notch better, as it gets a notch better every year. And it was just a lot of fun for us. And I don't mind just swindling 20 bucks off of me to get my kids' artwork, although it was 40 bucks this year. Because the second thank you is for including the preschoolers in everything over the last couple of weeks. I actually didn't expect to get a little pottery from my four-year-old when I went to the fair, and it was just awesome. And then taken her to school this week and last week. She got to go to the carnival. And I just love that you included the little ones because she had a blast. So yeah. Thank you to you and your staff for all of that.
Of course. Thank you. I'm so glad you came to the art fair and got to see it in person.
I almost went around to like some of my friends and like upped their bids because.
Now I do have to clarify, Chris chose the $20 option because then you don't have to wait for the option. you can take it with me. You. It's a one price, buy it and you're done. And we have some pretty savvy business people on our staff. So, the $20 price works pretty well for some parents.
It did.
Yeah.
Any other questions from Ms. Simons from the board?
I'm just curious, outdoor school, are they still fundraising for that or do we pay for it?
We don't have to fundraise any longer. The state of Oregon, funds outdoor school at a certain rate per student. So we've actually talked about that fundraising was part of the reason why it moved to the grade school because grade school parents are just way more.
They're not burnt out yet.
That's true. It's true. And they're a lot easier to get, you know, to contact. They still look in the backpack, you know, all that stuff. And so when fundraising was an issue, that was why it was moved to the grade school. It's really intended to be a junior high level experience. And so I have graciously offered it back to the junior high. And hopefully Richard knows that. Well, he knows now.
It's on the record.
But I'm hoping that will help this group. The class that just graduated was the class that missed outdoor school, and we had to put together something like this in the last minute. And so I hope that doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Okay. I was curious. Thank you.
Oh, I'll leave it on.
Hang on. Craig, did you have a question? No. Oh, okay.
It was Dana mentioned, and I think Steve did as well. We're beginning to feel like we're getting back to normal. We had some assemblies this last couple of weeks, junior high assembly, where teachers got to recognize various students for their accomplishments. And the kids were so respectful and attentive and applauding their peers for their hard work and accomplishments. And then the same thing at the high school, where each department gave various presentations and awards for the hard work that their students were doing. And so it was neat to have assemblies again. We haven't had many assemblies this year, but it seemed like we've been doing more in the last month than we did all year. And then we had the Senior Awards Assembly. I think Steve mentioned that was a neat event in the new gym where we got to recognize valedictorians, salutatorians, students that are getting special scholarships. And it was pretty neat to see all the other students that were just impressed with everyone's hard work. You know, sometimes you think kids are jealous that, wow, I didn't get that, but lucky they did. But people were respectful of each other's hard work. And so that was just a neat event and lots of parents there. But I was impressed with all the different kinds of awards that our students received. Graduation, if you got to see graduation, that was, you know, I've been in a lot of graduations over the years, but this one was really pretty special. If you see that where they're throwing their hats in the air, that's kind of a neat tradition that I haven't seen before. And that was after they actually get their diploma and after I announced they've met all the requirements, state of Oregon and the Dayton School District, the senior class president actually pulls them forward and makes their announcement that they're officially graduated. And that's when they throw their hats in the air. And so that was kind of a special thing for the senior class president to do. And so that's a neat tradition that I haven't seen before, but so I'm picking up some great ideas for a future. But graduation was pretty special. Our guest speaker was amazing. Our student speakers were really good. And the students were just proud of their accomplishments. And you can tell that when they're walking across and getting their diploma. And it was a very special day. I've been In fact, I'm sure Richard's watching tonight, and I've been touching base with Richard on a regular basis, and I send him kind of a updated list, keep adding to things that we're working on, things that we need to talk about before I leave, and he takes over some things that he needs to have on his radar for the fall. And so we've been in good communication. And as I have here, I think we've filled three positions and we have three others that are advertised. We'd like to get those filled probably early July.
What are those?
I think we have a PE, a health, and a science. I didn't mention May Day, but Sherry said about 2 months ago, May Day is kind of a big deal around here. And I said, well, yeah, big deal, May Day. Well, it was a big deal. The junior high had their, as more of a field day, they had bouncy houses, they had dunk tanks, they had cotton candy, they were having a great time. And then the high school had the May Day celebration where there was some dances and May Day court. And so that was really neat. And I was impressed with the number of community people that came out. And speaking of community people, last night at our eighth grade promotion, we had it in the old gym. We won't do that again. Place was packed, and some of those grandmas and grandpas had to stand along the wall for over an hour. I think it's people just anxious to get back to being involved. And so people were coming out that maybe weren't coming to some other events earlier in the year. But it's another, I think, example of how Dayton is a pretty special place because of the community support. And somebody told me earlier when I first got here is that Dayton is kind of a destination school where people come here and they stay here. In fact, how many of our staff members went to high school in Dayton? And so if we've had a bump in the road this year, I don't see that bump in the road happening next year. Richard is very optimistic and looking forward to next year. And I think we've turned the corner on a number of issues. And when you first hired me back in August, I think one of you said, so Ed, what are you going to work on? And I said, well, kind of healing and bringing everyone together and feel good about what we're doing. And that was a goal. I wasn't as successful with it as I wish I had been, but I do think that we're on the right path. I think we're moving forward. And I appreciate what Efrain said a month ago today when he read that statement about let's put the past behind us and move forward because we've got to do what's best for our kids. And I like to quote Richard each month, and that he said, our kids deserve awesome. And I think we can make awesome happen because we have staff that have a heart for kids. And you know, we want to learn how to read, we want to learn how to do math and learn how to understand science. But no significant learning takes place without a significant relationship. And that's what I appreciate about our staff is that they have a heart for kids and they work on building that positive relationship. And then the learning can take place. And I think we're moving in the right direction. And you know, and unlike Sherry, I knew from the beginning when you're interim. But even with that, I'm a little going to be sad about leaving because this has been, it's been a year. And I actually mean that in a positive way that I know people care about each other and they care about kids and they want us to do what's right for our kids. And that doesn't happen everywhere. And so it's been my pleasure to be here. And I know that Dayton's in good hands for next year. Any questions?
I just want to say thank you for coming in, for taking the leadership role, for doing everything you did.
Okay. Well, thank you.
It's appreciated.
Yep. Terry?
I think you did a great job.
All right. Thank you.
You know, Ed, I think it's very nice and very important that we hear these things, you know, that you picked up on that are really special about Dayton over the last year. There are things that, I mean, I noticed Dayton does that where I grew up didn't. And they really, along with the relationships that we build, make what is so special about Dayton. And the board needs to keep that in its mind as we try to continue to steer this ship forward, hopefully in a better direction. And that when we lose people, we start to lose some of those things, because those people made those things possible and make those things possible. So I appreciate you helping us remember that, and that you appreciated those things too. And thank you for all that you did serving us, Ed.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're moving on to the discussion portion of our agenda. First up is our schedule of board events. We do need to make a decision about our July meeting. We had kind of kicked that down to this agenda. And I asked Steve if we really had anything important that we needed to get done next month. And the answer was no, as long as we didn't have any.
Wait a minute.
Okay, I might have distilled that. I might have distilled that a little bit.
A little bit.
But as long as we, the important business you said you were making sure got into June and
yeah,
and so forth. Yeah. So
I think we all could use a break. Yes.
Any other opinions about July? I agree with you, Terry. If we don't feel like anything we have to get back for, then we will not have a July meeting. We'll come back in August, second Tuesday of the month as usual, and let everybody have a little bit of a summer break. Sound good? Okay. We do have I think Steve, you already mentioned this, the end of year staff luncheon, Wednesday, June 15th, 12 o'clock, the Dayton Grade School. So if you can attend that, I have to send my regrets. I have to work, unfortunately, but I do appreciate everything that everybody's doing to make that happen. Anything on schedule that I'm missing? I think that's pretty much it. All right, and then we've got a presentation from Fifth Corner Academy and Roxanne Wilson. You're here with us. Steve, anything to kick this off before?
No, just we had our partnership with Roxanne. She wanted to come and share a little bit about what they are doing as they move and grow and develop. And so
it's green if it's on.
Yep.
It's red if it's not.
All right. I gave you guys a packet. There's not really anything really to approve. So I just gave it to you when I came tonight. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what we did this year and what our plans are for next year. This year, starting in June, before now, we were approved by the Oregon Department of Education as a therapeutic focused virtual alternative school and program. And we had our pilot project here in Dayton, and I really appreciate the opportunity that you have given us to do that. We did keep it small on purpose to utilize measurement tools and be able to control the environment and make sure that we have all the information moving forward, so that we do provide a lot of help without any harm. And so that was our main goal. We had a pilot project for a host family study pod learning environment model this year. We used measurement tools. The first one we used was our medical director is a licensed medical professional. He's a doctor of osteopathy. He's also an adult and adolescent psychiatrist of 30 years. He did mental health evaluations on our students and any parents that wanted to be involved in family stabilization services. We also worked with Lutheran Community Services Northwest when there was a need for additional services outside of our scope. We also did soft skill measurements recommended by Rand and Castle. This year we used SDQ, which is the Strengths and Difficulties Questionnaire, and the EPOC Measure of Adolescent Well-Being. I've included some information in your packet about those. We also use for documentation of services and progress, we have used Practice Fusion Electronic Health Record, because we do provide mental health services integrated into our education services. We also used for documentation frontline education. I'm not going to go into all of it, but we used the electronic health record, the student health management system, and the 504 program, also the behavior health management at frontline education. And it's really been helpful to document all of the students' improvements in their mental health over this year. We also comparisons and reports of findings. We put together a packet, student progress spreadsheets. You find a sample that is redacted in your packet. This is an actual redacted comparison of the strengths and difficulties questionnaire that we used at the beginning, before, prior to entering 5CA, and then each quarter afterwards, so that you can see the decrease in the amount of difficulties this particular student has experienced. And wanted to share real quick. This is a short little, so if you look at the, it says a student at the top, and it says before 5CA, fall 2021, winter 2021, and spring 2021. This is like the percent of difficulties out of the total. And then you can see that each quarter, the percent of difficulties they were experiencing decreased. This particular student, when the student started with us in the beginning of the year, the student said that he was never going to go back to traditional school, that it was too traumatic. And at the end of this school year, he is actually committed to going to two classes starting in the fall with his 5CA classmates to reintegrate into the traditional school environment. So super excited about that. And then I want to read this really quick. This is from a mother from one of our students. To whom is it may concern, my name is Krista and I'm the mother of a student that attends 5CA. Finding this alternative therapeutic educational option has been life-changing and life-saving for our family. My child has struggled with mental health for many years now. She suffered in silence for a long time and fell through the cracks of the traditional school system. In February 2020, she was hospitalized after a suicide attempt. Soon after coming home, the pandemic hit and schools were shut down. Her mental health continued to deteriorate. When it came time that schools were opening back up, she was having panic attacks and struggling with severe anxiety. I saw a friend post about Fifth Corner Academy on Facebook and thought it was worth looking into. I'm so glad we did. My child receives one-on-one support and instruction in small group settings. She has had access through 5CA to a psychiatrist and even had assistant who was even able to assist in medical management. Since attending 5CA, my child's self-esteem has improved. She's learning coping skills. She has been successful and is passing her classes. Self-harm has diminished. She continues to struggle every day with her depression and overall mental health, but has a safety net of people that are there to catch the warning signs and are always quick to communicate to us. As a family, we have struggled watching our child struggle. We have been scared to death every day of losing her to her depression. I firmly believe the support we have received and continue to receive has saved her life. We are so grateful for this program. Sincerely, Krista. I asked her and I redacted it. I asked her not to share her last name or any identifying stuff, but that's what we do for the students that meet the criteria for our program. What we do is not for obviously for every student. What Dayton has is for most students, but for some select students who really need basically what you're taking in July, they need a break, right? They are overwhelmed, they're traumatized or overstimulated, whatever the case may be. They have experienced some things in their home life or their mental health. They're experiencing anxiety, depression, suicidality, all those things that make learning pretty much impossible in that situation. And especially around a bunch of people who continue to overstimulate, which is the nature of a large environment, a large school environment, right? And so We started this program to provide the homey environment for those students, to provide a safe space. They have an extra space. There's always two. There's a teacher who's really good with academics, and there's always somebody there who's really good with mental health, either the counselor or a qualified mental health associate or a certified peer recovery mentor or somebody. There's always somebody for academics and somebody for mental health, and they work together as a team. And so they get everything they need in that space and the beginning of the year, we talked to Dr. Sugg about it. The first 2 weeks of the year, when they first start with us, a lot of times we will not jump right into all academics. We'll do some pretests, but most of it is really about getting to know the student, making them feel comfortable, developing trusting relationships, and helping them feel safe where they can actually drop out of that fight or flight mode, and they can actually focus on their academics and succeed. And so that's what we do. And it has been working. We have been documenting all of our successes, and we will provide a full report for each of the particular students to your junior high and high school counselors by the end of July. So they will have everything they need to help these students reintegrate back into the school next year. The plan for most of the students that have been with us already this far is they've all agreed to go back to Dayton for two classes. And then at the beginning of the year, and then at the end of the year, the plan is to be with us for only two classes and Dayton for the rest. And then, there's a transition period in the beginning, in the middle, and they're all actually, they're feeling, I don't see the anxiety that are surrounding that plan at all. They're all excited about being able to attend some of these classes together because they have grown close together, and when they trust each other and they know that they'll support each other if there's any bullying situations that come up again in their environment. And they have been learning tools on how to deal with those situations in healthy and safe ways, how to involve adults, and we've even learned the CDC's guidelines for safe ways to respond to those situations. So I wanted to let you know really quick, the priorities that we have from the beginning of our communications have always been three priorities. The first one is mental health progress, because they can't succeed if they don't survive, right? And so especially the students who are struggling with suicidality, that's number one. We help them survive. And then we help them not just survive, but learn how to want to live again. And so they don't have to continue with those thoughts of not wanting to be here anymore. The second priority is academic progress, and we have made huge strides this year in that area. So excited and so proud of them. And the third priority is progress towards reintegration. I wanted to let you know that sometimes that third priority, because there are a lot of extenuating circumstances, by the time these students come to us, they have significant mental health challenges. And those don't go away very fast. It takes a lot of time to develop trusting relationships and to develop skills that they can use, and the motivation to even use the skills, the belief in the self-efficacy that they can actually make any changes, the self-worth. You do this for a living too. So, but when they come to us, they need way more one-on-one than they normally would in a normal situation. So they get it and it works. So finally, I wanted to ask, next year, we have already been approved for this next year as a therapeutic focused virtual alternative school and program. And does everybody know what Focus Virtual means? So virtual, everybody knows a virtual, obviously, because of the pandemic. Focus Virtual means that there are opportunities as often as possible for one-on-one contact and social engagement to the level that these kiddos can participate in. And so we have been able to help these kiddos. We take them to the gym 3 times a week. And so they have a, you know, close-knit group that goes in there, and they're able to get used to being in an environment with other people, but in a safe and controlled way. And then we have the host family study pod learning environment model, which is amazing. It's really working well. I wanted to invite you all to please support what we do. We have been really trying hard to support our community and our school district and work together and learn and grow together. And it would really mean a lot to us as a therapeutic alternative school here, a local school and program, to feel more supported by our community as well for the work that we do. To feel like that support is more reciprocal, it would really feel good, and I would really appreciate it if any of you can make it. I would like to offer you some free tickets to our event on the 25th in our community center. We're going to have some our award center ceremony for our students for this year, and they get to we all get to get in touch with our inner child and play dress up. It's a medieval and Renaissance themed, and we have 3-course meal and entertainment. And all the kids have been, they've taken cooking, not all of them, but some of them have taken cooking classes and contributed to the medieval and Renaissance themed menu. And we have made some of our own costumes. And so we're all super excited, and I would love it if any of you that can make it can come. And I believe I sent you an email, and there's a link in there. The first 20 that people that that get tickets, they're complimentary.
And the invitations, the last 2 pages in this packet as well.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Questions? All right, appreciate you preparing that for us.
Thank you.
All right, that concludes the discussion portion of our agenda, and we'll move on into business. We have 6 business items tonight before our executive session. First up is our insurance coverage for the 22-23 school year. Dr. Sugg.
So we got our insurance estimate from Hagen Hamilton, and got a notice today that one of those numbers had changed. Of course, what insurance companies do, correct? So Pace is offered to renew your insurance package. Instead of $146,009, it's $146,524. So the insurance package premium is increased by about $15,000. However, our workers' compensation, the renewal is safe, has decreased by about $15,000. So those two things are really about a wash. So between the two, the cost will be the same for the next school year. But we just need approval of Hagen Hamilton as our insurance premiums.
Any questions? Anybody wish to make a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion. We approve the insurance company coverage as presented by Hagen Hamilton.
All right, we have a motion from Director Pacinger to approve the insurance as presented from Hagen Hamilton. Do the second for the motion. Second from Director Rinalda. Any questions, discussion of the motion? We'll vote. All in favor, raise your right hand. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Steve. Next is our Dayton chapter of the Oregon School Employees Association, OSEA Collective Bargaining Agreement, MOU.
So Juneteenth is a holiday now, both in the state and nationally. And so we needed to adjust our contract with the classified union because they have some of their members actually work over the Juneteenth would be in their work calendar. So this puts that into the paid holidays that would increase it from 8 to 9 for those people who work all of the year, which basically is our custodians. Juneteenth would also impact some secretaries because they're, and then of course administrative and confidential staff as well. But this agreement, of course, I've talked with the union, they're all for it. We're just adding it in there. So it's a paid holiday for employees whose calendar includes that holiday, right? So not all classified employees get Juneteenth as a paid holiday, just like they don't all get Independence Day. It's if that day falls in their work calendar. They work the day before and the day after.
All right, any questions?
Is it on a Monday? Didn't they vote it on Monday?
It's on June 19th. This year it happened, the 19th is Sunday, so the 20th is the observed day.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right, does anybody wish to make a motion on this MOU?
Yeah, I move that we accept the memo understanding between us and OSEA Chapter 88 as presented.
All right, we have a motion from Director Albright to approve the memorandum of understanding between us and OSEA, Chapter 88, as presented. Any discussion? Sorry, do I have a second for this motion? A second from Rinalda, Director Rinalda. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, we'll vote. All in favor, raise your right hand. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, OSEA. Next is our first student contract extension. This was something that we brought up at the last meeting, and then Larry and I met with Steve to take a look at a couple of different options. Steve, do you want to kick something off first, and then Larry and I can throw in some comments if we wish?
Yeah, so as you know, busing became an issue for us in the year with a shortage of bus drivers. Through a lot of retirements, in the during the pandemic, different things going on, and the mask mandate and the vaccination mandate for bus drivers led to a driver shortage, a lot of retirements. So what happened is First Student was required to increase their salaries. That chart there kind of shows the unemployment rate in Oregon, where it went up and then it's back down now. Let's see if I can. They're talking about just, they like to keep their salaries within the 90th percentile for the market. Here, you see what their previous pay scale is versus the new pay scale. And then this chart here shows kind of where they were, the school year 22 starting wage for Amity, Dayton, Eola Hills, McMinnville was $19.25 an hour. The increase now is $25 $24.10. So that's a 28% increase. So for this year, First Student has just been kind of, taking that on themselves and covering that cost, eating that cost, I guess. So their proposal then is, of course, to pass that on to us. They do have signing bonuses, as you can see there, for non-CDL. So then it comes to a couple of options for us to consider as we look to extend the contract over the coming years. So there's three options. And like Chris said, Chris, Larry and I met to talk about this. The first option is for us to just go all in, take on the increase as in next year, and then have for years one through five of the contract extension to have it just increase 2.5% over those years. That would mean an increase to us of $61,000 to our budget through the cost of it. Overall, it's an increase of $187,000, of which we get about 70% reimbursed. So the cost of the budget would be $61,000, a little over. Option two would be we kind of spread that out over the next school year, the next couple of school years, and then years four through five are a little more palatable, I guess. So it'd be 23% next school year, a 4% increase in year one, 2.5% increase in year three, 2% for years four through five. So that would be a $32,000 initial cost, additional cost to us next year in our budget, or $85,000 total increase as you go from 23% down to down from 50%, 50.6%. And option three is a 13.5%. Again, that kind of keeps your increases going, 9.5% in year one, and then a 4% increase each year in two through five. So it's kind of spreading that cost out, those increases out over time. And as we talked about it in the budget, so that option three would be a little less than $21,000 cost to us next year, with a $50,000 increase next year. But again, you're just pushing those cost increases down the road. What we talked about as Larry and I and Chris talked about, we thought we would recommend option two, kind of the middle of the road, take on a lot of the increase next year, but not have so much increase down the road.
So my thought was, I mean, the rates are going up. We don't get to really change that at all. So it's just how much do we want to pay for up front versus take a no interest loan out over the next 5 years and increase those increases down the road. And I felt like option two was a bit of a compromise where we wouldn't eat all of it up front, but a good chunk of it. And I felt after our last budget discussions, we have some funds that we could put towards this. And it's only going to be $32,000 this year if we go with option two. And then there would be a little bit higher increases next year, but less so when you get down to year three, four, five from here. And it would be more normal stuff at that point. So obviously it's a little harder to look 5 years out in the future rather than just 1 year out in the future. And that's where my mind was going with that kind of recommendation. Larry, anything you would add?
Yeah, the option one is 50% up front. That's too big of a hit. That's what we talked about. And then option number three was they get their money in the back end, which is good. So even though we save a little bit up front, but so easier to take the middle hit, and the following years are much cheaper.
Any questions?
Works for me.
Or thoughts or anything?
So
okay.
Amen.
The one difference that I see is we're losing a trip bus. Is that
they would still cover it? They just aren't charging us for it constantly. Okay. So they would still have one available.
One available.
Yeah, it's just not in our contract.
Okay.
Other questions?
So they would charge us as we used it.
So Larry's and my and Steve's recommendation to the board is option two. Does anybody wish to make a motion on the matter? And then I think we would have have a budget change later.
I make a motion to approve First Student's contract extension with option two.
All right, we have a motion from Director Pasinger to approve First Student's contract extension with option two that we discussed. A second from Coleman?
Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion of the motion? All right, we'll vote. All in favor, raise your right hand. Motion passes unanimously, and the matter is settled. Next, we have the transfer of Legion Field. Do we have any guests that have jumped in, Katie or John?
Beth or Rochelle?
The city was considering trying to join
as a guest.
Okay. Then Steve, I'll let you.
Someone named Mom that says I'm here.
Oh, that could be Beth.
But it said Beth is here. one of the many hats. Welcome, Mom.
Stop sharing.
Try again if you're unmuted.
She's probably trying to, did you promote her to panelist?
Yeah.
Yes, it's got to, she's got to rejoin.
Okay. It's promoted me now.
We've got you. Steve, where do you want to start on this?
So I met with the city, with the mayor and city manager. They would like to us to donate our portion of Legion Field. So Legion Field is owned jointly, kind of half and half, between the city and the school district. It was the site of the original school way back when. I'm not sure how that developed, but it is zoned public. It is a park. And since it's jointly owned, the city can't get grants to improve it because they don't really own the whole thing, right? So they can't get a grant to improve somebody else's property. So they want us to donate it to them so they would be the be able to do improvements to it. Director Paysinger did email me with a question about, you know, we don't want to donate it to them and then have the city turn around and sell it to a developer. Both the city manager and the mayor assured me that that would be exceedingly difficult because it's public, it's zoned public, and it's a park. They also had their attorney update the document to include the following language: that the grantor desires to donate subject property to grantee to be used for its current recreational purposes and then not be sold to a developer. So that was their, how they would respond to that.
Steve, as I emailed you, I'm fine with donating this property or a park. I do have concerns that 10 years down the road, the city rezones it, they sell it to a developer, they make hundreds of thousands of dollars, and, you know, thank you, school district, we appreciate it. And I think everybody right now has a good intentions, including, you know, Beth, the mayor, and us. But we might, none of us be on this board, and none of the city council might be the city council. And I just want to make sure there's provisions in there that the school district doesn't get the short end of the stick down the road. So
can I respond to that, Steve?
Terry, are you?
I would love to hear it, Beth.
Yeah. Well, of course, our vision is to maintain it a park, and I understand your concern about turnover, and the vision can change as elections change who's leading. Right. However, it's really hard and it's very lengthy to convert this type of zone to anything that would be desired by a developer. Additionally, there were previous like environmental issues with the property that would have to be mitigated. What I would say is, if you're concerned that would happen in 10 years, like the planning conversion process would probably take that amount of time. And there's not that type of process. It would be cost prohibitive. So there's extraordinarily limited risk that would happen within the foreseeable future. And if it did, way down the road, it would be a very public and transparent process that I don't think the public would support either, to see our very, very frequently used and.
Mayor, you're cutting out. I think we lost you.
Well, while she comes back, let me just throw something out. I have complete faith Beth is correct. I also have, you know, we've all been around. Times change, people change, zoning rules change, stuff changes. It's just how it works. Is there a way we could lease our half of the property to the city, similar to the
Head Start building, you know, how we own the property and they own the building, and they did all that. So anyway, we can, you know, give or lease the property to the city for $0. So the city can, you know, build their park and do all this thing and develop it and be able to get grants, because I think that's all a good thing. But we don't really relinquish control down the road without, you know, signing off on something at the time. And it's kind of like the Head Start. I mean, that project, you know, we've been talking about that for 20, 30 years, the Head Start building and how that worked. And finally buying it and you know, over time things change. So I guess I think we should look out for the long-term, you know, rights of the school district. So I'm a little hesitant, even though I want to give it to them, I want a park, I'm all in. I'm just hesitant that we could be walking away from some money down the road, but maybe we should be the good conservatory of that money now.
Sure. Thank you, Terry. I saw Beth had kind of added in writing, I think, where she got cut off.
Can you hear me, Chair?
Oh, we can hear you now.
Okay. I don't know why it's cutting me off. I apologize for the disruption. The lease could be an option, but I don't know if the city would be willing to make as significant of investments into property that we don't own. And the reason is for the same points that you're talking about, Terry, is that if the board changes over and then wants to go a different direction and the city has spent money or staff time on it, obviously that could hurt the city as well. So I think that there's some risk with delaying or preventing development if that's the case. And I'll share a little bit more about our direction and vision with the park and part of why we were asking for ownership. Over the past, at least the 15 years that I've been on the council, the city has been taking care of reservations, all of the maintenance, watering, mowing. The upkeep of the park has already been entirely with the responsibility of the city, as our rentals and usage records. So functionally, the city is already the keeper of the park. But what we'd like to do in the future is increase development to look at adding recreational facilities, something like a skate park behind the home run field, or something else that could be utilized by the community. The city council has recently shifted our 30% of discretionary transient lodging tax dollars to our public parks so that we can develop recreational facilities. But we can't spend those dollars, our tourism dollars or earmarked dollars, and they can't be spent on certain purposes. And we would be, I can't speak for the whole council on that because we haven't had that particular discussion, but I think we'd be less likely to spend it on a park that we could essentially lose or have repurposed without consideration by the council.
I mean, I agree with you for what that's worth. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm making too big a deal out of it. I just, you know, we've been talking about that piece of property for years and the potential of at some point selling it to developers. So
that's been the primary concern, Terry, the board in the past.
Yeah. I mean, once again, we've had these discussions, you know, multiple times over the years. And, you know, I would love to see it as a park and I'd love to donate it. I just want to make sure that the school board doesn't walk away from some money down the road. So, you know, I don't care. I'll vote either way. I just think it's something we ought to all think about and try to word a contract to make sure it stays a park at least for.
So would something like a 50-year lease that's pretty tightly defined ease the appetite with the city?
I don't think without ownership, the city is going to make the same type of investments. I think if it's, the thing is we already own half of the park. A lease doesn't functionally change anything on paper for us. So if the interest is in protecting your 50% ownership, from my perspective, there doesn't seem to be much purpose in negotiating another document because we already share the park. So a lease wouldn't change anything for us.
You would, so I know that, you know, the city manager, Roden, you know, it got that, got the language in here about that we desire, that the school district desires it to be a current recreational purposes and not be sold to a developer. Would it be possible to, do you think, to add a line in there that said that if the city was to sell it to a developer or was to sell off the property, that the school district would get 50% of those proceeds?
I think language like that would be pretty easily accepted by the city. Because we have no intention of going that route. I also think if you wanted to put some other restriction on it, saying that we're prohibited from selling it for 50 years or something like that to protect that use for a period of time, I don't think we would balk at that. Because again, you're talking about, in order to change the zoning, it's, you know, because of the type of zoning and the placement of that park and our current ordinances that require park spaces, It would be, I mean, like a UGB expansion. It would be a huge process to go through in order to even change that park from public to residential, which it would have to be like R2, R3 for a developer to be interested. If we started that process today, we couldn't sell that to a developer for 10 years, and we have no intention of going through that process. So if there was interest in putting some sort of protective language that said you can't convert this from public use for 50 years, for 100 years, I don't think that we would be super concerned about that language at all.
I'm good with that. I mean, I want it to stay a park, you know?
Yeah, and so does the city.
Right.
Debbie wants an aquatic center.
Debbie's proposing an aquatic center.
So Debbie.
The chair seconds that motion.
The chair has been advocating for an aquatic park for a long time, and he's not going to get it.
I can get you a pool from Walmart. I know. Beth, you probably want this approved, but can we postpone? Will it harm your plans if we postpone this to our August meeting?
Not at all.
Specific language, and we can go from there.
Yeah, not at all. The park that we are looking at right now, at our recent budget process, we shifted our 30% discretionary fund in anticipation of building a splash pad. I think that's the expected direction at this point. That would not be going in at Legion Park. So if we delayed till August, October, that's not going to affect us for this year. Mm-hmm. It just is something we'd like to get on the books because one of the improvements we really want to make at that park is a restroom. And there is Oregon State recreational grants that will build restrooms at parks, but we have to own the park to apply for it. It's just a weird thing with that particular grant, and it pays for restrooms. That being said, whether a restroom goes in during the winter months is probably not going to highly affect the activity or the usage of the park.
So I think we got, was it about two things for Steve to take back and negotiate with the city or get into the contract? And that's, a timeline where it cannot be sold. And I just want to make sure we're all good with the number. 50 is what was kicked out, 50 years. Do we need a 1,000 or do I hear 2,000? No. Okay. So about 50 years.
Anybody have any predictions about 50 years from now?
50 years. And that should it be sold after that, the district would be entitled to half the proceeds.
Great.
Any other questions, concerns? All right, Mayor, thank you so much for being here and helping us through that.
Thanks for your consideration tonight.
All right, so that'll come back to a later agenda, August at the earliest, to review and approve a contract or further discussion if needed. Next up, we have approval of our fees and meal prices for 22-23 school year. Steve?
All right, so you have every year we need to approve meal prices for next year. I don't believe there's an increase here, is there?
Well, free to free.
Free to free. Well, as long as we continue to qualify.
Free, 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 free.
And they keep changing those rules. So,
all right. Any questions then? Anybody wish to make a motion?
I make a motion. We approve the meal prices, the fees for the meal prices for the 2022-2023 school year.
All right, we have a motion for Dr. Pasinger to approve the fee and meal prices for the 22-23 school year is presented to us.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. The second from Director Kearns. Any discussion of the motion? We'll vote. All in favor, raise your right hand. The motion passes unanimously. Next, we have approval of contract for the Umpqua Valley Financial.
Steve? So as you know, our auditors last year notified us that they would not be continuing to offer their services. So we went the ESD and they got RFPs for several districts around us, and we, Katie and I and Amber, worked to evaluate the RFPs that came in. There were two, and we selected to go with Umpqua Valley Financial, and you'll see the contract here in front of you. They were a little cheaper than the other option, and they have lots of experience with schools. Amity has been working with them for several years, so they're known around the state, and they do a good job. Great. So we recommend approval of the contract with Umpqua Valley.
Okay. Any questions? Anybody wish to make a motion?
We accept the contract with Umpqua Valley Financial for audit services for the 2022 year school year.
Okay. This is just a 1 year?
It renews, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you. We have a motion from Director Albright to accept the contract with Umpqua Financial for audit services for the next school year. Do I have a second for the motion? A second from Director Pasinger. Sorry, I happen to be looking
fine.
That way.
Nope, that's totally fine.
Any discussion of the motion? All right, all in favor, raise your right hand. And the motion passes unanimously. All right, up next, we have an executive session planned. I'm gonna take a brief recess for us in case anybody needs to run to the restroom, because we're at about an hour and a half here. When we come back, we will go into executive session. And then we do have a little bit of business to tie up afterwards when we come out pertaining to that. Benefits for superintendent, confidential staff, and administrative staff. So thank you for all who have attended up to now. If you wish to attend for the remainder of the business, it'll be after that executive session, and we'd love to have you back after that. But until then, you are excused. So we're in recess at 8:24. Let me know when you two are ready. Katie, are you ready? Okay. We're coming out of our executive session at 8:49 and back into our public session. And we have business related to salaries and benefits and any business coming out of our executive session. So I think we did have something from our executive session. Do I have any directors willing or ready to make a motion? Nobody's jumping.
I will. I thought Debbie was. She had that look on her face.
Yeah. I couldn't read fast enough.
I make a motion that we approve the salary and benefits contract for Steve, our superintendent, as presented.
All right. We have a motion from Dr. Pasinger to approve.
That wasn't done. Well,
salary and benefits contract for Steve, our superintendent. As was presented to us for our executive session.
I have some discussion on that. Doesn't it say confidential staff and administrative staff?
That's what confused me.
That is,
I started to read that.
So we are somewhat missing an agenda item.
Oh, all right.
The 9.1 is a separate agenda item for our administrative and confidential staff salaries. And then Steve did add into that what we had before us related to the superintendent salary, but we first started discussing the contract that was before us.
Okay. Got it.
So is that what your motion was for?
My motion was for Steve's contract.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. So we have a motion from Director Pacinger to approve salary and benefits for our superintendent, Steve Sugg, as presented to us, his contract. There's a second for that motion. A second from Director Rinalda. Any discussion of the motion? We got that cleared up. Okay. Then we'll vote. All in favor, raise your right hand. Motion passes, and we will get that signed. Thank you all. Thank you, Steve. Then we have item 9.1, salary and benefit contracts for superintendent, confidential staff, and administrative staff. So here, Steve, do you want to let us know what you're presenting for us?
Yeah, it's the salary schedule with a 2% increase for administrators and confidential staff.
Okay. Any questions for Steve on this discussion about it? Okay. Anybody wish to make a motion?
I will. I make a motion to approve the salary and benefit contract as presented for the confidential staff and the administrative staff.
All right. We have a motion from Director Pacinger to approve the salary and benefit contracts for our superintendent, confidential staff, administrative staff as presented. Thank you. Do I have a second for the motion? Second from Director Albright. Any discussion of the motion? Okay, we'll vote. All in favor, raise your right hand. Motion passes unanimously. And that brings us to the end of our agenda. Any comments? Thank you to anybody who stuck around online. And for those that came back in our audience, thank you for being here. Everybody have a great night. We'll adjourn at 8:53 p.m.